This is the 24th of May, 1976, and Garrett and I are interviewing on Guaymas Island, Washington. Did I say that right?
Right, exactly right.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
What is your name?
My name is Sigrid Maria Nyholm Knudsen Larsen Troutman.
Like many Danes, you have a dictionary of names.
I had Sigrid Maria Nyholm Knudsen. That was my first four. Then I married a Larsen, and then I married a Troutman.
Would you give me your father and your mother's maiden name?
My father's name was Hans Johann Knudsen.
And your mother's maiden name?
Henrike Margrethe Nyholm.
When did your father and mother come to this country?
My father came in 1890 and stayed here a year. Then my mother came alone with 9 children.
Were you one of the 9?
I was a baby. I was 1 year old.
You do not remember much of the trip?
Nothing.
But your mother and father must have told you some stories.
I know every bit of what happened.
Would you tell us?
It is all written in Dagmar's memoirs. And, well, I can remember. Well, my mother was seasick all the way. And they came over on a cattle boat, one of those old immigrant boats. They used to wheel the goulash into the place where they slept, and they would each have a little pan. They could get a gob of that. You know, that's the way they fed them. And she was sick all the time, so Dagmar had to take care of all of us kids, you know. So when she got to be 17, she wanted to get married and get away from all those babies. So she married a farmer out of Omaha, and she had 11 children. So she never got away from the babies.
How old was Dagmar when she came across and had to take care of the children?
14 years old. Yes. And after she had been here a while, we were very poor. It was really a time of deep depression. But in those days, they called it hard times. They didn't call it depression. And after a while, we got a one cow, and the children would bring the milk around to the neighbors. They would get 5 cents a quart. Pretty soon we got 2 cows, so we had to move a little farther out in Omaha to find the pastures for the cows. And my father kept working it up, and we kept moving a little farther out. And pretty soon we had 13 cows. Then he had a little wagon that he put 2 40 quarters of milk in, and had an 8 quarter and a quart measure. He would go around to the homes, and he was, how much? Okay, how many quarts? The ladies would come out with their pans, and he'd pour the milk in, you see. And so after a while, we moved farther out, and we ended up having 30 cows. And then he had to get the bottles, and pretty soon they were bottling the milk. That was glass bottles. We never got to the point where we had paper. No. And, well, Dagmar tells much more about the things that happened as they lived there. We lived in a Negro neighborhood, and we played with all these little Negro girls and boys, and my mother was good to all of them, and we played with them. We never thought anything about it.
What kind of work did your father have in Denmark?
Well, he was really a country gentleman? I think my mother's aunt raised her, and He didn't work himself. He walked around and had others working, you know. But when he came to this country, the only work he could get was wheeling this molten metal at the smelters. That was what he did. And my mother said she used to make pancakes out of milk and water for all of us. And she put an egg in for Dad because he had to work. That's how we lived. And she made tin pan cow, you know. And that's how we lived, very frugally. But everything was always neat and beautiful, you know. My mother had a knack of making it homelike and very nice.
What did your mother do besides have children and take care of children?
Wasn't that enough? I think it was.
Before she got married.
Oh, I think she lived at home with her mother and until, let's see, the father died. Her father was a cabinet maker. He made his own coffin.
Do you know what his name was?
Oh, it's a...
No, it's... No. What was his...
His profession was a cabinet maker.
And his name was...
Nyholm.
Nyholm.
Yeah. But what his first name? I don't remember that. But
did your mother speak English when they came to the country?
Not a word. No.
How did they learn?
They just learned from the neighbors and from contacting people. My father always said, "You tell a English some in food." But he didn't. He got by. And my mother learned very quickly, you know, by shopping and talking to the neighbors, that was all.
How did you and your brothers and sisters learn English?
When we got to school. At home, my father said, "Novia inni huset sotala vi dansk." So we had to talk Danish.
And father's rule, a word was law.
Oh, yes. And when I got married, I married a Dane, and I said, "Novia vi bord, så taler vi dansk." So we talk Danish at the table, and my kids can all talk Danish. Several of my children have been in Denmark and gone to school. My oldest daughter was there 2 years at Asko, Jylland, yeah.
Before we get into the names of your brothers and sisters, where did your mother and your father come from in Denmark? Where did you come from?
From Ringe på Fyn. It's very near Odense. It's a very small town, Ringe. You know where it is? Fyn er Danmarks have, ikke? Og Fynborg er Danmarks børn. Og det er kun fynborgerne, der kan komme til himlen, fordi du skal være som barn for at komme til himlen, ikke?
Oh, that's lovely. That's
so lovely.
That is beautiful. Fynske. Oh,
yeah.
Fynsk. Yeah. Hun er fynsk, ja.
Would you tell me why your father, your mother left Denmark and came to the United States?
I had the feeling, and I'm sure this is right, I think things were bad in Denmark at that time. And Dad had all these boys, and he thought that America was a land of opportunity. And he thought there would be more of a chance in America. And it was a time of immigration too, you know, wasn't it? When other people did, other nationalities came beside the Danes, Norwegians and Swedes and Germans too, I guess. And this was his idea. He did go up to Montana and looked at the free land up there, you know, that they had. But it was too rugged for him. He said, "No, I can't take it." So he stayed in Omaha. And that's where we made our home there.
Now, you have a picture of your family in front of you, at least the Danish born, minus Dagmar.
Yes.
Would you please give us the names of your brothers and sisters and your name when you get to that point?
Okay. Jens Knudsen, can I say it in Danish?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jens Knudsen, he's the oldest. Then came Dagmar Knudsen. She was the oldest daughter. Harald Knudsen. And then, let me see.
Were any of those named after anyone in the family?
My mother had five brothers that were teachers in Denmark and one sister that was married to a teacher in Denmark. And I think Rasmus, when it came to him, his name is Rasmus Juel Nyholm Knudsen. Then she started to elaborate on words, on names, so they all got four for a while, and the last one got five. Now, let's see, Rasmus Juel Nyholm Knudsen, Sven Trøst Nyholm Knudsen, they are historical names. Herluf Johannes Nyholm Knudsen, Mane Christine Nyholm Knudsen, Siri Maria Nyholm Knudsen.
And that's you.
That's me. Margrethe Elisabeth Nyholm Knudsen. Margrethe, that was my mother. She was named for my mother, Margrethe. Clara Elina Nyholm Knudsen. Valdemar Johan Nyholm Knudsen. Axel Hans Peter Nyholm Knudsen. He had five. He's the last one. She didn't run out of names. No.
And most people today have trouble finding one name.
They do. Well, she really had a sense of history, so they had Sven Trøst and that kind, you know.
What was that sense of history that she had with Sven's name?
Well, Sven Trøst, you know him.
Would you tell the tape about it so someone in the future will know? I know what you're talking about.
Yes, but I don't remember his exact significance.
But he is significant in Danish history.
In Danish history, yes, she is. And as soon as they came to America, they joined the Danish Lutheran Church in Omaha. And we had summer school there every summer, and we all went to Danish summer school 2 months every summer.
Now, there were two Danish churches in Omaha.
Yes.
Do you know which one it was?
Grundtvigs, den anden var Indre Mission. Yeah.
Was it Pilla?
Pilla was the Indre Mission. Yeah.
It was the Pioneer Church.
No, ours was called Den Danske Evangeliske Lutherske Kirke.
Were the lessons all in Danish?
Oh my, yes. I talked Danish until I was over. We talked nothing but Danish until I was over 35. My oldest children could not talk English until they got to school.
Would you tell me your birth date? That's a naughty way of saying
no.
How old are you?
Sankthansaften.
Oh!
Yeah. 23rd of June, 1890.
You said Sankthansaften.
Yeah.
Would you, for someone in the future, tell them what Sankthansaften is?
Well, it's something like our October, what is that?
Halloween,
yeah. They used to go out on the hilltops and build bonfires to scare away the ghosts or whatever, you know, right? And just like Halloween here, that's really what it was. And Mother and I were the only ones that couldn't go that night because I came.
Did your sister Dagmar ever tell you about going to school in Denmark?
Well, she went to school like the rest of the Danish kids, but she never went to school in America. Never. And none of us went to high school. We went through grade school. But I jumped over high school and I took 2 years of college later. and I took a Danish course, and I used to go out and teach the Danish immigrant children. I used to teach them Danish, because I took that course, you know. Danske Lærerinde Kursus. You know that?
Where did you take your teacher training?
At Grand View College, Des Moines, Iowa. Well, of course, now it's a great big school. At that time, we had all teachers from Denmark, and we had one American teacher.
Yes.
Yeah.
But earlier, I heard you say that your father came over here a year ahead of your mother.
Yes.
At that time, did he not go to Elkhorn, Iowa?
He came there first, but he was only there a short time. And then he came to Omaha, and he got this job wheeling molten metal in the, what do you call it? Not refinery, but smelter, yeah.
I have been glancing at Dagmar's day book here, too, and she says something about that he first went to Brooklyn. Now, do you know anything about this?
You come to the United States. At first, they come to, what was that called? Island. That's where they come to. And probably he was sent to Brooklyn because there was a Danish pastor that helped immigrants when they came to this country.
Do you have any idea what his name was?
The preacher?
Yes.
Oh. Hmm. Is it?
Yes.
A little...
You mentioned that he may have met a minister in Brooklyn. Do you know the name of that minister?
Oh, it used to be very clear to me, but it might have been Anderson, yes, it might. There was one that worked there for many years, helping the immigrants to learn a little American, because they didn't know one word of American. And take the young Danish people that come from Denmark now, they know they know English right away. Of course, one lady that came, she said she had learned Oxford English in Denmark, and when she came and heard this funny American accent, it threw her for a minute, you know, until she learned that. But they do know the American, the English language. They do.
Now,
yeah.
Do you remember any of your professors at Grandview?
Yes. The head man was Tove Knudsen. You've heard of him, haven't you? And Pastor Ruhlholm, Søren Ruhlholm, and we had Danish teachers from Denmark. There was Frøken Høgsbo, and let's see, Tano, yes, Viggo Tano. He was a good, but we had another.
May I say something here?
Yes.
Tarno is alive and
yes,
and
I know.
And riding his bicycle every day.
I know. He had classes for older people, you know. I still do my exercises in the morning, you know. Up, oui, and now they have changed that so much. They do more like ballet dancing, you know. This Danish girl that was here. Oh, it's beautiful. Ever so much better than when I did.
Do you remember any of your classmates at Grandview?
Oh, yes. I think I have pictures of that, too. Oh, yes, I do. Well, you know, Enoch Mortensen, he came later. I worked for my... Oh, listen, when I went to Grandview, see, I used to do all that young people could do in those days was housework. I worked for $3 a week, and then I saved half of that to go to Nyster High School. My lady kept half of it, and I lived on a dollar and a half a week, and she kept a dollar and a half, and I saved up $50 so that I could go to Nyster. But my dad, he wanted us all to go to Folke High School. He gave us each $10 if we'd go to Nyster, go to one of those schools. So I got that $10 beside my $50.
What is the Folke High School?
Oh, it's the most gorgeous thing that ever was, but it is off now, you know.
But what was it?
It was a place where we... Now, they had Pia School, girls, in September, September, October, November. That was a girls' school. Then the boys came December, January, and February, and they had to go home and farm in March. But I stayed there. I had run up a little debt, and the principal at Neustadt High School, he asked me to stay and work. And I tell you, the jobs I was a dining room girl, and I cleaned the... In those days, we cleaned with broom and mop stick. I cleaned the dining room and the front hall and the professor's room and three teachers' rooms across the street. And I was always running with a bucket in one hand and a mop in the other, and I ran. And Mrs. Heuber, she said, I... Hun kalt mig et langsomt lyn. Because I never walked, never. And I was always busy. Beside that, I took care of the professor's children. And he asked me to take 3 hours a week with the Danish immigrants. I was 18 and they were about 30, you know. But I had a class with them 3 times a week. And the first time I took my class, there sat the professor right in front of me to see how I did it. And I loved that. I just loved it. But I never got any sleep, hardly.
How much were you paid for all that work?
$25 a month. That's it.
And you loved
high school? Oh, I loved it. Oh, you know, we had to stop school when we were 13 or 14, and no school, and I cried. So I thought, I'll save up, and I know I'll get to school somewhere, sometime. And that's where I started.
How much did your mother and your father encourage you to go to school, and why?
Because they themselves had been to the first folk high school in Denmark with Kull. You remember Kull? He started the first folk high school in Denmark, and they both had been to it, and they loved it. They were freedom-loving people, and they wanted us all to go, you know. We were 8 that got a trip to one of those schools, you know, 8 of us.
Oh, would you tell us about that?
Well, that was this Neustadt Folke High School. There was one in Dannebo. There was one in Solvang, and then Grandview College. And I said, I'm going to Folke High School. I'm going to Grandview. I'm going to Denmark. And Denmark was the only thing I didn't get. I got the rest of them. I borrowed money and saved money to go to Grandview. And I borrowed it from my first husband, because we were engaged 7 years. And before we got married, I still owed him $50. But I think I worked it off. Because I had 7 children. And I kept house and did all that, you know. I never worked outside the home until the kids were out of school. All 6 of them were home until they were through high school. Then I went out and I worked at a hospital. That's how I got my Social Security that I'm living on now, together with what Andy has. He has his Social Security, too.
Do you remember any of your professors at
Grandview?
Neustadt?
At Neustadt. Yeah, there was Olga Müller. Have you heard of him?
Was he also a minister?
Yes, at Neustadt. And he moved to Solvang. And he was a minister there. Olin Miller. And you know, you mentioned, what's his name? Enoch Mortensen. His wife, she was this big. And you see, When I went to Grandview, we only paid $8 a month for tuition. Then it was quite a bit more for a board and room, but I worked for Reverend Royal. That was Nana's father. And I worked for my board and room and went to school.
Your first husband was a minister.
Yes. That's why we were engaged 7 years, because he was going to school. And we didn't marry before he had a job, you know. And in the meantime, I took the course in the Danish, course, and went out and taught school. I had a picture of my little school. Yes. 3 summers in this school on a side hill, and the sun was burning down, and no shade anywhere.
Where was that school located?
It was in Lindsay, Nebraska. Looking Glass, they called it in those days, because it was like a looking glass.
My brother-in-law is from Lindsay, Nebraska.
Is he?
Yes, Damgore.
Oh, Damgore. Oh, Gerda Damgore was one of my good friends at Nuste. She was the baker girl.
I don't know her that much, but I knew that you must know that.
Oh, name. And Carolina Damgore. She lives in Withy now.
But would you tell me about the school we did?
Oh, that's my love. I love those kids. I could eat them. I also taught at Tyler, Minnesota. I had a school there for a parochial school, a year, a full year. And I had about 30 kids, you know. And the oldest here was about 14, and the youngest were about 5.
And you had them all in the same classroom?
Yes, they were in different grades, of course. But I taught only Danish here. But in Tyler, it was American in the morning up to third grade and Danish in the afternoon. So
What were the accommodations at this schoolhouse? How did you heat it?
Heat it! The sun beat down. You know.
Well, you were not there in the wintertime then?
No.
No.
2 months in the summer, this one. And accommodations was a little old house in the backyard. That was it.
Would you describe that house to us?
Well, I mean,
the shed.
A toilet, yeah. In other words. Yes. That was all.
But where did you live?
I lived with one of the families of the children. And I think the congregation paid them for my boarding room, and I got $25 a month.
This was a church sponsor?
Yes, the Danish American Lutheran Church sponsored that and kept it up all the time.
You said you were engaged for 7 years. You were not in the same communities during that time. Then did you keep contact by mail or?
Oh, I had a pile of letters about. I just burned them lately. I had about this many in a box, and my children kept them, but they were all in Danish, so I thought nobody else would want
other
them.
Other people read and speak Danish.
Yeah, I know. I kept them.
It's
went.
It's not a dead language.
No, it isn't. But I hauled them with me from, well, I lived in Nebraska, and then we were in Tyler, and then we were in Oregon, and then we came to Seattle, and then we came out here. You know, I've lived all over. So I really kept them for a long time, and my children kept some of them, and then they finally gave them to me, and at last I took and read each one over, because there was a lot of history in them. And then I thought, well, this must be it. But I have a hard time burning my children's letters and my grandchildren's. I've got a trunk full of them. I can't. I just can't burn them.
happen and you handle.
Let me see. When we were young, we were idealists. We lived up here. We didn't live on the ground. We lived in, and our main idea was to do something for people. So he wanted to be a minister so he could really do something for the people. And his health would not hold out. So he quit and he went to school, and then he quit and went to doctors. Then he went to school again, back and forth for 6 years at least. So I went to Grandview College and took this Danish teacher's course, which was a 2 years course. And I waited until he was finished, ready to go out and preach. Our first call was at Moorhead, Iowa. And we were there for about 2.5 years. He was originally a cabinet maker from Denmark. He was 17 years old and was what you call finished, you know. And he started his work as a carpenter in America because there was not much cabinet work at that time. Later, he took up the cabinet work again. But let me see. But after about 2.5 years, his health was not good enough. So Reverend Ruhlen, he knew about this orphan's home in Tyler, Minnesota, and he said, let Larson and Siri, let them have a chance at it, because he knew we wanted to do some philanthropic work, you know. Is that what you call it? And so we got ready. We had no children at that time. But very shortly after that we said, yes, we would do it, it took 2 or 3 months to get ready to go. And by that time, I was pregnant. Our first baby. And we came up there in March. And Alfred was born in July. That was but at that time there were only about 16 or 18 children there. And then we had our first baby. And after he came, inside of a year, there were about 5 diaper babies that we had right there. Al was born at the orphan's home. So my family teased me. They said, how do we know it isn't a little orphan? But it was our own. And it was great. It was really great work. We just loved it. We played with the children and fed them. And Larson had this little farm. There were cows and chickens. And we had a big, huge garden. So he was busy, and that was good for his nerves, you know, because he wasn't strong. And we stayed there. In 2.5 years, Otto was born. So we had 2 children. And by that time, Larson thought he was strong enough to go out in the ministry again. So a call came from Junction City, Oregon. So we packed our bags. Otto was 1 year old and Al was 2.5. And we packed our bags and we came first to Omaha to visit my folks that lived in Omaha yet. There was a big family living there of the Knutsons. And we stayed there a month, and Otto was 1 year old, but you see, I couldn't get milk on the train in those days, so I nursed him until he was about 16 months old. I had the milk with me then. The journey across the country was two days and 3 nights. And that was the best way to travel in those days. So we came to Junction City and he took up the ministry there. And he kept that up for about 2.5 years, and then he didn't seem strong enough. So he bought an old, we had no money. He was getting $75 a month.
As a minister.
As a minister.
What year was that?
That was let's see, Al was born. Is it 1900? Yes. 1916, I guess, wouldn't
1960.
It? 1960. It'd be 1960. He got $75 a month and a home. And we bought an old car, too. And I wrote to Omaha, and Mom, we go to, or yeah, I wrote to my mother, we go to Eugene 15 miles an hour. And that was terrific. You know, wasn't that great, though? But to begin with, we walked around the neighborhood, and I got a little go-kart for Otto, and Dad had Al on his shoulders, and we walked around the community and got acquainted with the people, you know. Then we got that car, and that was great.
What make car was that?
Could it be a Chevrolet? Couldn't, though, could it? Could it? Of course, I never paid too much attention to that, you know. I'm amazed at the children. They can even hear what kind of a car it is. I never paid much attention just so it could go. And it had side curtains on, you know. Do you remember?
But I remember the kind of cars from my own home in Denmark.
Oh, did
my
you?
Grandparents had it. But what I wanted to know is, when did you learn to drive, or did you?
I never learned. Because I always had a baby on my lap. And by the time they grew up, they wanted to drive, so that Mama never got a chance. I tried it once, and my husband said, no, you will never drive. I was too nervous, or whatever you call it.
You have several times mentioned your two oldest boys. Would you give me the complete names of each one of your children and what they're doing now?
Oh, yeah. Alfred Nyholm Larsen. Let's see, has he got any extra name? Alfred Nyholm Larsen.
What was the work that your son, eldest son, did?
Well, it has to do with all this older Americans in action, foster grandparent program, retired senior volunteer program, and it seems like he has more yet now. I can't keep up with them all. They go ahead of me so fast. They send me their stuff, and I can't keep up with it. And here he is. Larsen to head the OAVP division. RSVP Chief L. Larsen has been director of the new division of the Program Policy and Analysis for OAVP. What is that OAV? Older American Volunteer Program. That's his main thing. There he is.
Right. And your number two son, Otto.
Otto.
What is his
Otto name? Otto Nyholm Larsen. He is, first of all, he is full-time professor of University of Washington. What is? Sociology. He also has written textbooks for all universities, that together with other professors. He has about the fourth, fifth, sixth edition of this. I have one book I can show you.
And your other children?
The next, where's Sis's card? I have to get that.
No, just tell me about her. What is her name?
A. Dorothea Jones.
She is next to Al, too.
Al? She is a mother of one child. Oh, I didn't tell about the children of these boys.
Oh, well, let's go back.
Oh, okay. Al has four beautiful children, two boys and two girls. And they are very nice. Well, don't get me started on that.
Right, what are their names?
Oh. Fred, he has another name, but I don't know. Fred Larsen, anyway. and Tori Larson and Ingrid Larson, Christine Larson. They have a middle name too, but I can't remember them.
Yeah. But they stayed with Danish names, Scandinavian names.
Almost. Tori is not it. Oh, yeah.
It sounds Icelandic.
Yeah, that's right, Tori. Yeah, it could be. They have those four.
Now, Otto.
Otto has Paul, who is a high school teacher in Seattle, and married to a head nurse of the Veterans Hospital. And he has two children. There they are. That's my great-grandchildren.
What are their names? Say it again.
Daniel, Erica Sigrid. She's my only real namesake. Although Ingrid said, Grandma, our names are almost alike. I am Ingrid and you are Sigrid. So she felt very close about that. Aren't they lovely?
Mm-hmm. And?
Let's see. And then they have Chris.
Okay.
Chris Larson, a little boy that was born 3 months early, and he only weighed 2 pounds, and he now is in Evergreen College in Olympia, doing just fine. And the youngest, which is Johnny, a typical American teenager.
You didn't mention Laurie.
Oh, Laurie, I forgot Laurie.
First
Paul, and then, that's Otto's. Paul, and then Laurie, and she is a very good actress.
Laurie Larson.
At the present, although her mother said yesterday she's getting a new job at another theater, she has been working at the Empty Space in Seattle. You know that?
I saw the name of it when I was down there.
She's making a name for herself. She's always been her father's pride and joy.
Grandmothers.
not to mention it.
Let's go to Dorothea.
Yeah, Dorothea has one beautiful child, Tanya Jones, Dorothea's only child, and a very lovely girl. She has very good talents, and she's going to Foothill College in below Palo Alto. And you know, her real ambition is to be a forest ranger. And that's what she is studying for now. For many years, she wanted to be a country doctor with a little satchel and go around to the houses. But she found out that it takes more. It takes a little more than she hadn't gotten the good start. They have to have so much to become a country doctor, don't they? But that was her ambition. And let me see, was that Sis?
Yeah.
Well, we forgot Wilmer. Yeah, he comes after Sis. Wilmer and Newell Larson. And he is a principal of schools in Palo Alto. And he gets many good write-ups. I mean, they appreciate him. And I think he does good work.
Does he have children?
He has six! Yeah, he does. And they are great kids, too.
Do you know their names?
Oh, yes. Nancy is the oldest. And she has married a drummer. Beautiful. She lived with him before she got married, and that was a source of sorrow to the parents. They almost disowned her, but all the family rallied around Nancy, and she really intended to get married, but she wanted to wait till they could do it her way, and they finally made it, and they got married, and she said, my mother and father have changed since I got married. They really like us now, and they have accepted him. He was what they call a hippie, but now he is accepted into the family.
What about the other children?
Bruce lives at Santa Cruz with a girl who is studying to be a nurse. And beautiful people, both of them, beautiful. And he has a degree. He graduated from college as a political science, but his main thing is to work up his radio station. He is working in a radio station in Santa Cruz, and that's where his heart lies. The other is a byproduct.
Number three.
Oh, say, I forgot to tell about Al's oldest boy. Has a degree in philosophy from Bellingham.
Oh, Western.
Yes.
From Washington State College.
Yes, but he has nothing to use it for. But he has bought a house, and he is living, and he's a good boy. Okay, now let's see. Yeah, that's Nancy and Bruce. Then comes Peter and Kurt. They are both at, what's that place? We were there at Berkeley and trying to find themselves. All of Wilmer's children are artistic. They can do the most gorgeous things you ever saw. And they are living with another, in a house with a bunch of students, and they go out and paint, and they are bus boys, and they are putting themselves through college. They don't know what they want to do, but they will find their way. That's Peter and Bruce. No, Peter and Kurt. And then there is one boy yet at home. His name is Ron. Ronald, I suppose it is. Ron, and he is very inclined to work with bicycles and motorcycles, and now it's cars, he told me. And his mother once said, I wish we had a medical doctor in our family. And he said, Mom, I think I'll try to study for that, but if I can't do that, I want to be a, what do you call it? Mechanic. That's where his heart lies. He's really a good mechanic. And then little Ellen Christine. She is just about ready for high school. That's it. That's six of them.
Wait a minute. We'd like to ask you about your daughter, Dorothea.
Yes. She has a higher than this. She is a director. She is a program director of the Departmentally Handicapped. She is a director.
And program.
Program director, yeah.
And she is teaching people to work in this area.
Yeah, and she's making up the programs.
Let's go on to the other children.
After Dot, Dorothy? Well, we got Wilmer and all his six children. Margaret Larson. She is married to Donald Mills, Otto?
Professor of Sociology.
Yeah, and he is Professor of Sociology at
Calgary.
And she is his wife, and she is a school librarian, and they have adopted a little Indian boy and a little Chinese girl because they had no family of their own. And it is a most beautiful thing because they are lovely children.
And you have another?
Yes, the very youngest. I was 42 when he was born. And he is now professor of sociology at Calgary. And his wife is, he didn't want to go to school at the University of Washington. He said, nobody's going to say that my big brother put me through. So he, after All of the children had 2 years at Grandview College for their college work. And they put themselves through with a little shove from us, you know. And Donald went to the, let's see, he went to Indiana. Isn't there a university?
University of Indiana.
Yeah. He went there first, and later he went to Yale. And then, now, let's see, he is at Calgary, and his wife too. And he and his wife both have sabbatical leave this last year and have been in London. So Alfred went over to visit them right now. That's where he is, yes. And they are soon coming home. They're coming here. And Margaret's are coming here, and Wilmer's are coming here this summer.
How lovely.
Oh, it's a beautiful summer.
But
it's,
I want to stop and go back a little bit now.
To who?
To how did you celebrate Christmas?
This last
as
year?
As a child.
Oh, as a child. We had the most beautiful Christmas you could ever ask for.
Pick one and tell us about it from the moment you started preparing for it, until you had a headache because it was all over.
We started by cutting out little baskets, you know, hearts, weave those woven baskets of hearts, and we'd make other kremahuse, and we would spend a whole evening making these little baskets, and then we would string popcorn and cranberries in things like this to hang on the Christmas tree, string them, you know. And but we never could see the Christmas tree. My mother had that in the front room, which was closed off. We never saw it until Yule Afton at after supper.
What kind of foods did you prepare?
Kleine, you know Kleine, and Pebernöse, you know them, yeah, and Kringle, you know these that go in a bowl, a Bohnenkäse, and let's see, that was the main things.
Those are the cookies.
Yeah, those were the cookies. We had Able Skiva, a Riesengräumen Mantelli, and the one that got the mantle gave. And we had that at Yule Afton. And while Mother was finishing the Christmas tree in the front room, my father would sit and tell us stories or read a story for us. And we all sat there. And then my mother was, we had live candles on the tree, of course. And all these things that we had made, nothing else, no bought and stuff, all made, all handmade on the Christmas tree. And we sat in a dark room while my father was telling us stories. And then when when my mother was ready, father would go in there and light the candles on the tree. And then we all got up and all came, you know.
What were you doing up there on the floor while I unplug myself and get ready to run with you?
We got a hold of hands. All the Christmas tree was in the center. And then we'd a new Harvey Yulikan, a new Harvey Yulikan, Yulin Bavitti Poske, new Harvey Yulikan, a new Harvey Yulikan, Yulin Bavitti Poske. And then we would sing, et Barnea Fertie Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Sainana, la 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 la, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And then we would stand and look at the Christmas tree, and we would sing, glad are you, dine are you, England, darling, nearly skew, die Flügel mit Paradies grün, wo die Seele Gujas kennt. Lenli plant es die Gau, Lenli plant Gau. And there were packages under the tree, and our eyes were on them. But we had to wait till we sang about five songs. Then we would end with Nu hav juliken, Nu hav juliken, Julen var vitte påske, Nu har vi juliken, Nu har vi juliken, Julen var vitte påske. Okay, then we could sit down. Then Father would take the packages, and there was one or two for each one, from Mother to Sigrid. Okay, here's your package. And we would open. I remember once I got a doll with the most gorgeous hair on it and a little beautiful pink hat and a pink. Oh, it was so beautiful. We didn't get much, but we always got something. My mother would go down in the basement of the Boston store at 5 o'clock on Yule Afton, because she needed a couple more presents. Once I got a little iron stove with iron kettle and an iron pan.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
Have favorite foods or favorite drinks at Christmas time?
No.
Christmas Day, what did you have as the Christmas
meal? I don't know if we did have anything. I mean, anything special. This Ebeskiver and Riesengroi, that was a real Christmas. Later years, you know, it came in with maybe a Fleskestei, something like that, potatoes or something.
Did you go to church at Christmas time?
When we were real small, I don't remember of doing it, because we lived about 4 or 5 miles from church, and we'd have to take the streetcar, you know. Not when we were small, but we always went to Sunday school, and my people all went to church. I mean, my grown folks, until this beautiful sister of mine. When she grew up, she was a very dynamic, you know, and very lovely woman. But she had to have a baby before she was married. And this really hurt my father. It was such a disgrace that he wouldn't be shown at church for many years afterwards, because he was so ashamed of this thing that happened, you know. This goes to show how the Mores were of that time, you know. Right?
It was a serious thing.
Very serious. But my mother kept going, and we always went to Sunday school, and we always had our penny or nickel, I don't know which it was, but we always went, and we always went to summer school, too, you know.
Were you confirmed in the Danish church?
Oh, yes. When you're 13 years old, we go to Præst a couple of years, you know. Then we're confirmed.
Back again to your childhood, do you ever remember your father being involved in any kind of politics? Did he ever run for any office, or was he on the school board or anything?
No, he was Han van Leilighedstaler. We used to have picnics, and he would talk, you know. We'd have several in the church that talked, and he was one of them. He was one of the funny ones. he could make them all laugh, you know. He was a very good Leilighedstaler. And we'd raise a Danish flag and an American flag together. The American flag had to be a little bit above the Danish, but we could do that until after the First World War, you know. Then all these things had to quit. That was my whole life. And